it is a different thing. It, you know, leadership pain is, can be very disheartening whenever you're in the middle of that, especially when you're trying to lead in the midst of a painful season.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Rooted in Christ podcast. My name is Eric Stevens. I'm the founder of Redwood Christian Ministries. Hope everyone out there is doing well today. With me on the show is my brother in Christ, my friend who is patient with the technological issue we were having a few minutes ago, Dustin George. Brother, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. It's good to see you. Good to be here.
Thank you for being here. Thank you for doing the show. I know I got you for a little bit of time today, so I just want the audience to just get to know you. So
sure.
Anything you want to share just about your background, how you came to Christ, or some of the things you're currently doing for the kingdom now?
Sure. So I was one of those kids that felt like I was always in church growing up. And around the age of 6 and a half or so, during an evening prayer time, I was praying before I went to sleep, and God just really convicted me. And I had heard the gospel 15 different times, probably in the last, you know, month, different activities at church. And so there on my top bunk, that's where I came to Christ. And from there, I went into teaching after I graduated from college, and I taught literature, taught English, taught Latin, taught some drama, did a little science on the side. I was just kind of into everything. And then after about 10 years of that, God called me into full-time church ministry. And so I've served in various capacities at various churches, and here over the last, I guess, probably 7 and a half, 8 years, I have served as a lead pastor at a couple of different churches. And so that's where I am now. And just wrote a book, first book, and that kind of brings us up to date, the whirlwind tour of where I came from and how I got here.
So I guess I'll dive into the book and the author piece. So
sure.
What's the name of the book? What can the audience expect from it? And what was kind of like the motivation behind just, hey, I'm ready to do this now and start this journey of becoming an author now?
Yeah. So the name of the book is Before Dawn, Knowing God's Presence in the Dark Seasons of Life. And really and truly, it was my own dark seasons that led to the book. And someone asked me here, I guess it was just last week, someone said, so how long did it take you to write the book? And I said, well, to sit down and write it, not consecutive days, but cumulatively, I said, it only took 21 days. They said, that's amazing. I said, yeah, but it took about 20 years of pain in order to really write the book. And so the driving force really, and you have spoken to her, was my wife. Rebecca, she wrote a book called Do the Thing. And it's about the creative process and doing what God's called you to do. And I read through her book. Of course, I'd read it multiple times. I read the draft. I read when she first published it. And I thought, you know, I'm going to read this book, but I'm going to read it as though I don't know her and I don't know the story. And I'm just going to read through it. And I did. And then I went home at the end of that day and I said, hey, babe, I'm going to do my thing. She said, what's your thing? And I said, I'm going to write this book that's been stewing and cooking and kind of on the back burner all this time. So I'm going to sit down. I'm going to write this thing. And basically the book it's a walkthrough, a lot of painful concerns or some of the aspects of pain that we go through, whether that's disappointment, some disillusionment, and maybe it's just monotony, maybe it's some trial that we're going through. And so it ranges wide through the idea of pain. And at each turn, the idea is that God is present, God is at work, and we can see him at work, and we can trust he's at work, even in the midst of our deepest, deepest, darkest seasons.
So obviously we want people to read the book, but I don't want sure. to, so we don't want to give too much away, but I know you talked about being like a lead pastor and, mm-hmm. you know, as a pastor and elder at my church, I think that leaders they experience those dark seasons. Sometimes they feel like they experience those seasons alone, even if they have a community of people. What is an example of some of that? Like, just, hey, this is some of the pain that I went through, that I decided to put in here, and this is how God brought me out of it to the other side.
Sure. Well, you know, as a leader, there's an aspect of pain that comes by being a leader, where you have to be very careful what you share. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So because you go through a painful spot or something, and there is I'm not saying that we're held to the expectation of never suffering, because we do want to be relatable, but a lot of that pain comes from situations that, you know, you can't stand up on a Sunday morning and say, okay, everybody, let me tell you about all the difficult things that a few of our members did this past week to make things really hard on me and leadership. So you really can't do that. But there are some times where you're going through a leadership type of situation, or you're going through some leadership pain, and it feels, as you mentioned, it feels very, very isolating. I like to say that it's not only isolating, but it's also insulating. You not only feel that you're by yourself, but you feel like you're almost in an echo chamber, and everything is just sort of held in real tight. And in the midst of that, it's really hard to know, you know, where you can turn. And that's why I have two or three brothers in my life that I can go to, and I can say, listen, this is what's happening. This is what I'm walking through. This is the difficult part of this. These are all the pain points. And I just need some prayer, some counsel, some encouragement, and know that those guys are going to be honest with me, brutally honest, but at the same time, they're going to be very understanding. They've walked some of these similar paths before, and I can trust them with that. And so it is a different thing. It, you know, leadership pain can be very disheartening whenever you're in the middle of that, especially when you're trying to lead in the midst of a painful season.
And you kind of touched on it by, you know, you said you got like two or three brothers who you can kind of talk to and lean on in those moments. What else would you say to leaders who may be experiencing those seasons? And I know I'm probably diving into what some of the book is talking about here.
It's okay, man. Yeah, we'll dive in wherever. I would say another thing that, and someone asked me this the other day, I had another discussion, and someone said, what's one of the most valuable things you've learned in leadership? And I would also say the value of rest, because you know, there's always an opportunity to do something, to meet, to be involved in activity, to be busy. And it's easy to feel like you're the only one who can answer those questions or meet those needs, which is not true, because we're to spread that out, and ministry is to be a shared experience. But I know that in church world, it's easy for people to say, well, I need to speak to the pastor. I don't want to speak to someone else. I want to speak to a pastor. I want to speak to an elder. They're the only ones who are going to be able to answer my question or meet my need. Well, you also have people that I did Christian counseling for a time, and I was talking to one of the other pastors that I served with, and he said, just understand, some people are going to be professional counselees. He said, they're always going to come in. They're never going to do what, you know, you're asking them to do. And you have to be able to distinguish between those people who are actually in need and then people who are just, I hate to say needy, but there is that component. But I would say rest, finding that accountability and having brothers around you and people around you that you can speak to, and they can speak into your life as well. And the other thing is this: it's easy for me to stand up on a Sunday morning, a Sunday night, and teach about God's word and tell people This is the infallible, totally trustworthy Word of God. And then step out of that pulpit and face the same kind of things that I am telling them. You can trust God with this. And then for some reason, step out of the pulpit and think, but my issues are different. And, you know, my struggle is a different type of struggle. And it's okay for me to worry about this, but I'm telling them, don't worry, God's got this. But then, you know, I come home and I'm, you know, I get one of those nasty texts or emails, and then you start thinking, well, I don't know, is God going to work in this? And he is. He absolutely is. But it's easier to give that comfort and encouragement to others than turn that comfort and encouragement that we find in the Word of God back to ourselves and actually apply it in our own lives.
I've learned the value of rest has been critical for me to keep doing the stuff that I'm doing. And then the things that he's even asking me to do in this season, like I made it a point that I need Sabbath time weekly.
Oh yeah.
And it's one of those times where it's, I don't always tell people when it is. I look at my calendar on a Sunday or Friday. I'm like, and I usually do it by the month. I usually, because the week of trying to schedule it never works out.
Oh, sure.
To make sure I take that time to literally just be still. And it doesn't mean not do anything. It just means I need to find the ways for me to recharge. And sometimes that is sleep. Sometimes that is sleeping in. Sometimes that might be a bike ride. Sometimes that is still, you know, and I never, the idea of reading the Bible, spending time with God, that's always, that's a spiritual discipline. That's always a part of it.
Sure.
But just making so I have those times where I'm just not busy just for the sake of being busy. I think that we're in a society where we are just go, go, go. And the busier we are, the better. But you can be busy and not be productive.
Oh, yeah.
So what am I busy doing? And if I'm just busy, are the things that my hands have found to do, are these things honoring the Lord? Or is it pulling me away from him? You know, so.
Yeah, sure. Well, I tell people that I say no more than I say yes to things. And sometimes that jars them. Like if you knew how many times I'm asked, hey, will you be involved with this? Will you do this? Will you lead this? Can you be? And you can't do them all. The other day I was here in town and I stopped by one of the stores for something. And as I was walking through the parking lot, I saw one of our church members walking through the parking lot. And I spoke to her and she had planned an event. And it's a yearly event, but she didn't have the date nailed down until a couple of weeks ago. So she came to me and she said, I have this date for the event. We want you to be there. We want you to speak. And I said, I have committed to speak at a different event on the same night at a different church an hour away. I said, I can't make your event. And so she said she understood. But then when I ran into her, days ago, she said, you know, it just really bothers me that you're not going to be able to be there for our event. And I said, I understand, but I would say plan earlier. That would be a good thing to do. And she said, but it just bothers me. Is there any way? And I just held up one finger and she said, are you telling me to stop talking? And I said, no, ma'am. I'm saying this is how many of me there are, right? There's just one of me. There's only so much I can do, ma'am. And I can't be at everything. And being able to be okay with that, to just say no and to schedule that time for yourself and to keep that appointment with yourself also whenever you schedule rest and to actually do it and follow through with that and keep that time. And that's super valuable.
The things I say no to help validate the things that I say yes to.
Oh man.
And
that should be embroidered on a pillow somewhere, man.
Maybe I should.
Good, that's good stuff.
I should put it back here, but then I got to buy a new banner, you know? it's because it's the priority and it's everything is. So I'll take that example. That event is important and it's very important to her, but Now, I plan events for a living. So the first thing that I usually do is I look at the, I'm looking for a date. I'm checking with the venue. And then who do I want to have there? Because I know what happens when people ask me to do things the last minute. The answer is often no, because I've probably either already committed to speak somewhere or I'm already committed to being there, and don't even remotely start to factor in wife, kids, any of those things.
Right.
It helps with the character and integrity piece of that too. I'm saying no to this because I already committed to X, Y, or Z. So I know if I have to be serving on the welcome team on Sunday morning, I know that I'm not a morning person. I know it takes me longer to get moving in the morning, but I still got to be there on time. There's no excuse. I've already committed to it. That kind of tells me on a Saturday night what I'm going to say yes or no to. So maybe I don't go to that sporting event, or maybe I don't go to Detroit to record that podcast, which I seem to be doing that more and more often. So that's not the best example, but the things I say no to keep the character and integrity of the things that I say yes to, which I guess in this case too, it's going to lead me to my next question for you. Okay. So I know you said it took about 21 days to write this, but I mean, it's probably almost a lifetime. You said 20 years is probably a lifetime in the making. So what was the writing for? Cause I have a lot of people who listen to the show who are either they're authors, they're writing another book, they're aspiring to be authors. So what was that creative process like for you?
Sure. One of the best pieces of advice that I was ever given about writing came from a writing professor I had in college. And he said the first thing, and this was not in reference to, say, a term paper or something, it was creative writing. He said, turn off your inner editor and write. And someone asked him the question, so you're saying I shouldn't be concerned about cynic structure, whatever. He said, no. He said, just write, write. Put it on paper, write it, get it down. The vast majority of it you may not use, but get it down. Get it down, organize it, go from there. So what I had been doing over a period of years, I would write on my blog, and I would just keep things just, I would post little articles that I wrote. I would post thoughts, sometimes, you know, 5 sentences long, sometimes 5 pages long. And I just kept writing and I kept writing and I kept writing. And I had always written. I always had things that I had kept, different things that I jotted down, and I had some notebooks. And so what I found as I was reading through some of my old notes, some of my old posts, was that there were some themes that kept emerging. I kept going back to a few things again and again. So I pulled all of those and I eventually narrowed it down to this stack of information. And I literally got 10 manila folders, labeled each one of them with different titles, which later became the building blocks of the chapters of the book. And then I started reading through. Whenever I would find something that would fit a particular category of a dark season, into the folder. And then after I got all of that together, then I went through sorting them, writing them down, seeing where they fit together, filling in other ideas. And so, yeah, it took 21 days, but as you mentioned, there was a lot of writing that went on before that. There was a great deal of thought. There was a great deal of experience that went into that. And then after I got that first draft, I thought, this is great. I've got this. And of course, in your mind, you think, having never, you know, I've read plenty of books, but having never written a book, you think, well, I'm almost done. This is awesome. I mean, look, I've got this big stack of papers and it all looks great. And the other day I saw someone had posted online, a writer had posted that writing a book is just like reading a book, except the book is trying to kill you. And it's true, because you start working through this book and you start realizing this thing, you realize it's something that you've created. But it's almost like it's sentient itself, because at every turn you read it. I told one of my friends, I said, I read a page. Everything seemed fine. I came back the next day and read it, and I found 5 spelling errors, three grammatical errors, and then a formatting error that I know could not have been there the day before. But you start working through all of these little pieces, and it's just it's like doing woodworking or something, and doing a finish, and you got rough wood, and then you sand it, and then you have to go to a different grit sandpaper, and then you just keep going finer and finer and finer and finer and finer, and man, it's exhausting, utterly exhausting. It's worth it, but it is more exhausting than I ever thought it would be.
We had a concert here, November 2nd. It's called Beyond the Walls.
Okay.
And we brought some of the largest artists in Christian hip hop to the House of Blues in Cleveland. And we're going to do this again in 2025, because we're going to partner with Youth for Christ to help, young men, so youth and young adults who are coming out of the juvenile system, get reacclimated in society, clothes, mm-hmm. books, scholarships. Like, we want to be a support to them. And I realized all the stuff that I now have to do as far as being able to receive grants, you know, and it was just like right down to, I need to have letters, a new letter, a sponsorship letter, which then turned into, my letterhead is outdated because my old address is on there. Mm. I'm like, all kinds of stuff. And it's like, I think this nonprofit is trying to kill me.
Yeah, right? Right.
But if it was easy, you know, you got the old cliche, if it was easy, everybody would do it. But sure. I know that God called us both to the things that you and I are discussing right now. So, and it's worth it. And it's for his praise, his honor, and in his glory. And he'll make a way,
sure.
You know, and it doesn't always feel like work, but sometimes it's just, man, there's always something I could be doing, which goes back to that whole, I need to be resting.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
So what was the, cause I get asked this question a lot, and I have not written a book. So I point them back to various episodes that I have. What was the publishing process like for you?
So I was going to do traditional publishing, and I talked to a publisher, and we were going through that process. We had given them the proposal. And one of the things that I found, and Rebecca, she had, my wife, she published a book traditionally a year or so ago. And one of the things that she found, and she was talking to me about when I said, I'm going to write this book. And she said, well, you really need to write a proposal. And I said, yeah, okay, well, I need to write a book. And I need to have a book to propose. And she said, well, a lot of publishers, they don't want you to write a book. They want you to, they want a proposal with a few chapters. And then they want to look at that and kind of give you direction on where to go and if they want to publish it. And I said, yeah, okay, I don't know that I can do that. I need to have it done, at least a draft done, for my own well-being, just so I can have it done for me. So anyway, I got that done. We gave the proposal, passed it along. We had a publisher come back, and the publisher just said, I'm not going to say who it was. Publisher came back and said, we think you're trying to do too much. And I said, well, what do you mean too much? And they're like, well, you're focused on too many aspects of pain. You just need to focus on one thing, you know, too many aspects. And I just said, you know, have you ever been in pain? Because, you know, when you're walking through it, I mean, you go all over the place. I mean, it's not just, okay, well, I'm worried, and it just stays put. You know, there's worry, and there's fear, and there's doubt, and there's indecision, and there's waiting, and all these things are all folded in. You just can't pinpoint one thing. So we decided, the more we thought about it, the more we looked at it, we're like, you know, we're just going to do this. We'll just do it independently. So we were going to do it through the Amazon publishing process and go through that. And that has been surprisingly pleasant. Hmm. It's been great. Now, hard. We had a friend of ours do the design, do the cover design. She did a great job. And Rebecca actually went through, and she did all the typesetting with a typesetting program. So that worked out. We ended up doing a lot of, I did the editing myself. There was a couple of other people who read through and offered some insight and offered some direction on that. But as a whole, we went through that, and the speed with which we could do that was was really great. And one of my driving forces, so far as the speed was concerned, was I kept telling Rebecca, there is somebody somewhere who is going through a dark season and they can't wait a year, year and a half, 2 years to have this in their hands. They need it now. And that's been the ultimate prayer of this, is that, and just a singular prayer that Rebecca and I have been praying. There were our book signing here last week. I told everyone, I said, I'm going to ask everybody here to put this on your prayer list as one singular prayer for this book. And that's that God gets this book into the hands of every person who needs it, and that Christ is clearly seen through it.
Amen.
And beyond that, it doesn't really matter. I mean, that's it. But the process was good. It was, it felt like it was very, very intense, because we didn't have the longer process. It was basically at the speed with which we were able to accomplish it, with her doing a lot of the technical aspects, me doing a lot of all the writing. So it was good. I would recommend it. I don't have a point of comparison except, watching my wife, closely walk through that process in traditional publishing. But I would definitely say, yeah, if you got an idea and you want to get it out there in a hurry, this is a good way to do it.
Shout out to Rebecca George, who is a friend of this show. She has been on here twice, and I'm sure when she puts out another book, she'll be back again. Hopefully.
She's got one coming out in April, man.
That's right around my birthday. That's perfect timing.
Oh, man. Happy birthday, and very early.
Yeah, but I'll take it. I'll take it. It's okay.
Yeah, right.
I'll be 31 again. So
31 again.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a good year.
It's working. It's working. Amen. It's only been questioned a few times.
Cling to it as long as you can.
It's always good to lie on the Rooted in Christ podcast. I found that goes over really well.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So did you have that moment where it was just like, I quit? Like, this process is crazy. I don't want to do this anymore. Did you get overwhelmed? Like, you're just like, I'm ready to throw this book across the room.
All of the above. I reached this one point. Because here's the weird thing about writing. So you write it yourself, and they are your words that you are looking at. They're looking back at you. So you read them and you think, okay, that's how I want to say that. That's exactly that. That's it. That's the way to say that. And then you come back later and you read it again, and you have to edit, and you read it again. And then you go through and you read it yet again. And that seems pretty easy. Maybe if you're just writing a blog post, or you're writing you're writing a caption on Instagram or something. But then when you've got 200 plus pages that you're reading through, and you reach a certain point that you read it and you read it and you read it until you reach a point that you're thinking, I don't even know if this makes sense anymore. Like, is this even worth it? I mean, because you reread it so much, that it just seems to be almost foreign to you. And then you start thinking, I don't know. Will anybody read this? Will anybody care? Well, does this matter? And so I went through this frustrating kind of time of frustration where I had this marked up, it was in a 3-ring binder. I had printed out the entire manuscript. It was marked up. It looked like with red pencil. I mean, I'm an old teacher, so I mean, I had my red pencil going on, and I had all these marks and things crossed out and corrections. And I felt, will anybody even read this? And then if they read it, will they read it? Will they read it and go, okay, and that's it. Okay. Yeah, that's great. Yeah. I can't get that time back, but thank you for wasting it. You have all these doubts and all these things that happen. One of the things I mentioned in the book is that leadership amplifies insecurity. Mm. And whenever you, no matter what you're doing, if you're leading out with something, man, it's like a leaky roof, If it's not raining, you don't notice it. But the harder it rains, the more you start realizing, wait a minute, there's some places where the water is getting through. And in the same way, you think, everything's great. I'm secure. I'm stepping out. This is wonderful. It's going to be wonderful. It's going to be great. I'm doing exactly what God's called me to do. And then you start feeling that pressure. And then those little cracks and crevices where you think, you know, you've got it. You've got it together. You realize, no, I really don't have it together. I don't have it together as much as I think I have it together.
Your wife was the one who gave me this piece of wisdom, because mm-hmm. I told God I was not going to do this podcast, and there's so many other podcasts out there in general, and then you've got so many other Christian podcasts. I'm not going to do this. And she said that God saw fit to give the gospel from multiple perspectives. Mm. And I've been running with that ever since. Mm. Because it's easy to be secure in that secure space. It's yeah. easy to be secure when the water is just only knee deep. Because all you got to do, if you're sitting down, you guys got to stand back up and go the other way.
Man. Right.
But when you got to go out there in the deep water, it's totally different. And I didn't go to school for broadcast and communications. And I'm sure they can probably tell, but that's okay. Because God, this is where God has placed you. This is where he has placed me. And I learned, you know what? He called you to it. He's going to provide for it, whether it be financial, whether it be guests on the show, such as yourself. So I hear you. There's, you want to see your insecurities come out, do something you've never done before that God calls you to do, when you have to step out in absolute faith.
Right. Right. And my wife is not the person you want to talk to if you want to be talked out of doing something that God may be calling you to do.
I think I agree with you.
she's the wrong person to talk to. If you're like, hey, I think I need somebody to talk me out of doing something that might be frightening or scary, I think God's calling me to step out in faith. I need somebody to tell me, oh yeah, don't do that. Yeah. I'm going to talk to Rebecca. Not a good idea. Not a good idea, man.
That's one of the people you talk to, and it's like, I know I'm supposed to do this, but I just need to get pushed.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. And then she gives steps. That's the thing. She's like, here's what you need to do. You need to do number one, number two, number three is what you need to do in this order. And then when are you going to, or even this is what she'll do this. And I mean this I'm so thankful.
Yeah.
She'll say, so when are you going to do number one, number two, number three? Like, when are you going to have that done? You're going to have it done by yes, you know, so. But whenever you step out, whatever it is, ministry, creative calling, whatever it may be, when you take that step and you find, you know, God's the God who goes before you. You know, it's not like he's not pushing you out there. He's leading you out there. And I tend to forget that. I tend to look at the unknown and think, okay, I'm going to step out into that. Yeah, but I'm not stepping out into the unknown by myself. I'm stepping out into from my perspective, it's unknown. He doesn't have anything that's unknown. And so I'm stepping out into my unknown with a known God who knows all things. And so that changes the whole dynamic if I'm living in that way.
And you touched on it too, you know, praise God for, you know, praying and supportive spouses, because I'll go to Holly and I'll be like, hey, I got this crazy idea. And I'm like, it's crazy. But I think I'm like, I can't shake it. Whenever I get this feeling, I know it's God. And I'll start rallying off all the things that are concerning me about it. And then she's like, did you stop and pray and ask him? Because if he told you to do it, he'll give you more direction. And I'll be like, okay, yeah, I'm getting there. Because I'll go. I'll be like, all right, God, you're telling me to do it. I'm not asking any questions. I'm just going to go do it because I've been disobedient enough. So let's just roll. And she'll be like, but you might want to ask some specific questions. You know? Yeah. So, and AKA, sit down and slow down.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Get it. At least get a compass direction before you just go riding off, right?
I guess I'm like, I can't go wrong going north, right?
Right. You know, right,
like,
yeah. Right.
Is there anything that you would share with someone who is aspiring to write a book that they're just like stuck, like, hey, I think God's calling me to do this. But is there anything you say to that person who's first time writing a book, first time writer, first time blogger, like any advice that you would give to someone who's a novice, who's just getting warmed up?
I would say I would go back to that advice, first of all, that I was given, just write something. And one of the things that I heard from, and I don't remember who it was. I heard from somebody, it was a while ago. They said something about, or something to the effect of where your talents are being used by God, or your giftings to you, but being used by God, and people are being set free in some way through that, by God using that, whether that's, you know, they're being set free from worry or doubt or fear, or anxiety, or through the gospel, you know, the spreading of the gospel, you're seeing them being set free from sin, and how God is using you in that particular way to meet those needs that he is empowering you by his Spirit to do that work. That is an area where, you know, you have freedom in, and you have that love of ministry, and you see God working through you in that way. And I would say, when you're sharing those things, you're doing that writing, you're pursuing that, and then having other people to read that and see how God is using it in that person's life. And again, I'm not saying someone read, not everyone who will read it will say, oh man, this is great. And not everyone's going to say this is life changing, but does it resonate with other people? I mean, is it having an effect on other people? And sometimes I've even said, I've written some things before that, I've had some people come to me and say, it just really made me uncomfortable. Oh, why did it make you uncomfortable? And they're like, well, I don't know. It just seemed really raw. And it just seemed seemed way too honest, you know? And you say, okay, well, that's great. And they're like, I don't know that I'll read anymore, because it just seemed really too raw and it made me uncomfortable. And even then, even in that, what would be perceived as a negative, you can say, okay, well, God's using that, disrupting, kind of disturbing them in that way. There wasn't anything I was writing that was untrue or unscriptural or crass or anything like that, or vulgar. It was just very plain and raw and real, and it made them really uncomfortable. There are others who have read similar passages or similar works, and they come away saying, wow, that vulnerability, it really spoke to me, and God really used it in this way. And, you know, I would just say again to someone starting, I mean, write and write. And I would say also write from those deep places in life, whether that's deep joy, deep pain. It doesn't mean you spill all the dirty, you know, you pull out all your dirty laundry or anything like that. I don't mean that, but I'm saying write from that place of realness and reality. I think we have a tendency to sugarcoat and kind of sanitize a lot of things. And again, I don't mean vulgar. I don't mean obscene. I don't mean crass or disrespect. I don't mean any of that, but just real. And I would say if you can't read it and say, yeah, I was being honest there, well, you might want to rewrite it. I just think coming across as being real because you are being real. And I know that sounds probably like an old saw. It probably sounds like, well, of course, be real. But there's a lot of insincere writing. There's a lot of insincere preaching. There's a lot of insincere leading and living and everything else going on. I mean, we're not lacking insincerity. I think what we're lacking is true honesty and sincerity.
I think that, to your point, because I use, obviously, I live, all of it comes from the Bible. I live there as far as what I'm reading and studying. but I know a lot of authors whose books, now I listen to them because I'm an audio guy. So I, when I say I read them, that's really what I mean. But it's a great resource and tool. It's like, oh man, I'm seeing this person go through all of the things that you're talking about in that book. They've applied scripture to it. And that can be that motivation, that encouragement that they need to just keep going or to get started or to finish or just to be ministered to, you know, and however it touches them, that's how God intended it to be. So I, sure. You're spot on. I 100% agree. Whatever the, you know, the obedience is up to us. The results are up to him. So, And he knows exactly what that individual's heart needs. And it's going to speak to that individual exactly how it needs to come across to them.
Sure. 2 weeks ago, I had someone drop by the office and say, I just want you to know, I was reading your book and I was reading, they mentioned the chapter, they mentioned the passage. And they said, do you remember that? And I said, look, I've reread this thing so much. I'll have to pull up my copy and actually look it up because I know I wrote that. I can't tell you exactly which chapter that particular paragraph is in. And then he said, I read this paragraph and I want to tell you how God used it. So then he starts telling me, you know, and God just really dealt with me about this and that. And he goes on and I'm sitting there looking at him and I said, hey, great. You sure that was the paragraph? He said, yeah. I said, you're sure it was that passage that led to this? He said, yeah. And I said, can you help me understand? Because, brother, I didn't say any of that in that passage. He said, oh, I know. And I said, okay. He said, yeah, when I read that passage, God brought some scripture to mind. And then I looked up the scripture. And then when I started thinking about the scripture, then God dealt with me about these other issues. And I'm just saying that was kind of the little spark that led the Holy Spirit to remind me of the scripture. And I went and I just wanted to say that. And I said, okay, great. You know, and you're sitting there thinking, this isn't even in the book. And yet the Holy Spirit is saying, yeah, okay, I'm gonna take this idea and I'm gonna take one little phrase out of that paragraph, and I'm going to use it to lead my child here to the appropriate scripture and bring that back to remembrance. And then we're going to have a meeting with him and meeting with him in the truth. And I'm going to transform and make him more like Christ. And you go, yeah, you can't plan for stuff like that. That's just a work of God.
No, you can't. You can't. And you have no idea how God is going to use what you're doing to move and motivate somebody else in their life. It's amazing to watch. And we don't always even get those stories. You know, we may not even know this side of heaven who we've helped, encouraged, influenced, supported. I think we're going to get there and be surprised by some of the things that we hear and see.
Oh, yeah.
Sir, thank you so much for being on the show today. We got to get you back on here to do this again. So the door is open whenever you like to come back.
I'd love to. And thanks for having me, brother. You are okay. And you said, can I just say, you said earlier, you said, you know, I've never done broadcasting or anything like that. And I think people could tell. No, they could not. And honestly, I did radio broadcasting for a time. For a short time. And I will tell you, man, you've got it. You've got it. If you say, well, I don't have the training. Well, maybe this is the training, but also, man, God's clearly called you to this. So
brother, I receive that.
You're doing a great work.
Thank
great
you.
Work in a great way.
Thank you. I receive that. I really do. That hits home. So
good. I'm glad.
And I think that is a perfect place for the Let Them Know segment where you can share anything you like with the audience, whether it be where they can find the book. But this is the segment, the final segment of the podcast. You can share anything you like. My brother, please let them know.
Okay. Well, if you're interested in finding out more about the book, you can pick it up at Amazon. And if you just type in Before Dawn, you'll be able to find that. It should come up pretty early on in the search results. You can also find out more about me and find out some more about the book. You can download a free resource, a free companion guide at dustingeorge.com. And I'm most active social media wise over at Instagram. It's at Dustin C. George. And you can find me there. It's usually some ramblings, some thoughts, lots of photos of our dog and stuff like that. So those are the three main ways that you can connect with me.
You said they type in Before Dawn.
Yeah, Before Dawn. And that should bring it up.
So if you are watching this on YouTube and you type in Before Dawn, I'm going to get a copy of that book into your hand. So I'm going to buy a few of those from you. So, sir, thank you so much for being on here. Would you mind closing out in prayer before we wrap up today?
I would love to, Eric. Let's pray. Lord God, we come before you and we are thankful for opportunities to serve you. Father, and I know there are brothers and sisters that are watching, that are listening, that may be wrestling through dark seasons right now. They may be in the midst of a time of indecision, a time of trial, a time of pain, a time of confusion. Maybe it's just a time of monotony and they just feel like they are slogging through life. Father, I pray in each case for each person that you would meet them in there, meet them in their most dark places, meet them in the place of the disappointment and the confusion. Father, I just pray that you, by your spirit, by your word, that you would give them encouragement, that you would give them strength, that you would give them your endurance, and that they might focus their hope solely and completely upon the hope that is found only in Christ. And I pray that you would give them everything they need for this next step in their journey, whatever that looks like, however long they're on that path. And I pray that you would do a work in them so that they would recognize your hand and your grace. And they would also see and know that it's only by your hand and your grace that they are being sustained, and they would give you all the glory and all the praise and all the honor that's due only you. Father, I pray for Eric, and I pray as he continues his ministry and as he continues to just expand the reach and the listenership of his podcast, Father, I pray that you would just bless him in that. Father, I pray that you would bring people alongside him. I pray that you would bring guests, line those guests up that would most encourage, that would most clearly present the hope that is found in Christ. And I pray that you would bless him in every endeavor. Pray that you would bless him and his family and go before them in every way. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
And Lord, I just thank you. Thank you for this episode, Lord. I thank you for everyone who this episode is going to reach, that you are going to just do what you need to do, Father. We do all of this unto you. So I thank you that you're our authority, Lord, and that you're the only authority that we need in life, Father God. So I just thank you right now that everything that we're doing, touching, we do this unto you. Everything that you've called and asked us to do, Lord, we do this unto you, not for our praise, our honor, or our glory, but for you, Father. So I thank you for everyone who's been influenced by this episode to do the things that you've asked them to do, whether it be to start a book, whether it be to start a show, whether it be to go back to school, whatever you've put on their hearts, Lord, I just thank you now that you're doing a new thing. So I pray you continue to stir those people up to do all the things that you've called them to do, Father, because you're not going to call them to do something you would then later abandon them on, Father. So I just thank you for being so faithful even when we are not. Thank you for loving us even when we don't love ourselves or love you back, Lord. I thank you for loving us even in the tough times, Father. So I just thank you for my brother, Lord. I just pray continued expansion over his territory, Father. I thank you for the doors you're opening for him even now. We just pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother.
Thank you. If you have been enjoying our content, please like, follow, share, and subscribe to the Rooted in Christ podcast. We are on all major podcast platforms. We are Redwood Christian Ministries on YouTube. Sir, thank you so much for being on here today. We got to get you back on here.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.